All right, Tim, it's another Friday shorty. I'm going to call it Fake It Till You Make It Friday. That's what I'm calling this one. We'll see if we can get through this podcast. Now, I say that because I just jumped on Instagram and it just depresses me how the inauthenticity of some of these posts have become. So anyway, that's my rant, Tim. That's my rant.
I get it, but just let it go. Let it go. I do like the idiom or the saying that you started this show with because we were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah.
Fake it till you make it.
Well, that's, I don't know if that's an idiom, but, you know, one of the things we were talking about is having like a small segment on this, you know, at some point, maybe at the end of the Friday segment of an idiom or something that has a, you know, where did that saying come from and what did it mean originally? And so I had heard a couple people, Mike Prinkavage is one, and Eric, I think he said he might have a sinus infection. So the term under the weather kept coming up, right? And
yeah,
like, what does that mean, under the weather? You know, like, where did that ever come from?
Aren't we all under the weather? But
yeah. But, you know, usually that's a reference for someone being sick or, you know, just not feeling great or, you know, they want to stay home because they don't feel good. So I did some research on the Google machine, Tim. And under the weather is a maritime phrase.
Which makes sense.
It says when a sailor became ill or seasick, often because of violent weather conditions, that sailor went below deck. To the most stable part of the ship, which was under the weather rail. The phrase under the weather rail was shortened to the idiom under the weather. And that's from the grammarist.com, grammarist.com. So that's where that term came from.
Well, there's some irony in our sayings or idioms this week, because mine was also has a, maybe not a nautical, but a at least in this idea. Mine was go the whole nine yards, you know.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You know, give it all you've got, that kind of, you know. And do you know where go the whole nine yards comes from?
No, because if it's a football reference, you want to go 10 to get a first down, but I don't.
So fighter pilots during World War II had 9 yards worth of ammunition in their airplanes. So when they gave it all, they meant that they used up all their ammunition. So that's where the whole nine yards comes from.
Pretty cool. I did not know that, Tim. One of the things I wanted to talk about is we've all heard this. You know, back when I was a kid, your parents would say, your grandparents, I used to walk, you know, 10 miles in the snow uphill to school, you know, through the woods. So, I feel like I'm becoming that guy, right? Like, I tell my kids this all the time. Like, back when I was a kid, this would never have happened or this. And we talked about it a couple days ago. But I just mentioned I did some research on the under the weather idiom. And I went on online to Googlefy it. And, but Tim, back when we were kids or we were growing up, how did you get research done? How did you, if you had a book report, remember book reports or,
yes,
you know, a term paper, how did you get your information?
The same way we did in college. We went to the library and used microfiche.
Yep. Microfiche. And then, remember the encyclopedia, one of the hardest words to spell when you were in fourth grade, but
encyclopedia.
Now they're just on a mahogany bookshelf, you know, in the mahogany office, and they're just kind of eye candy, right?
Eye candy, collecting dust.
Yeah.
They're still, to this day, people still buy encyclopedias. I don't know if they use them, but they like the look, I guess.
Are they updated, or is it? I
would assume they are.
They are. Okay.
I would assume that.
Okay.
I have not opened up an encyclopedia in quite some time.
Another thing, when I was a kid back in the day, I have twins. They're almost 16 years old. And guess what? Mm-hmm. They both want a car. And so we actually have one that we got. It's a cheap Nissan Rogue. And I'm like, okay, well, that'll be good for both of them. But no, both, you know, the twins, they each want their own car. And I'm like,
absolutely.
Tim, back when I was a kid, did your parents buy you a car when you turned 16?
As we talked about the other day, I was not a car person. Growing up where I live today, Central Illinois, Champaign-Urbana, either I had a friend or two with cars, or we took the bus to school, the local mass transit. I had a bike. I had a moped. I never wanted a car. I never owned a car until I was 23 years old.
I just got whatever was sitting in the driveway. That was my parents.
Same here. Yeah, for dates.
And listen, I was very fortunate to have that.
Well, did you grew up in a relatively good-sized family? Did your brothers and sisters have cars that you borrowed, or?
Yes, but when I was 16, I had moved up to Wisconsin and just with my younger sister. So my other five siblings were in Illinois at the time.
Yeah, we're not.
So they weren't part of the quote-unquote family at that time. So it was just me. But I remember, this is a long story, so I might not get into it, but I crashed the car one time for a graduation party, and I smashed the car. And when I came back, my dad knew exactly. Like, he didn't even go outside to look at the car. Like, I came back and he's like, "What'd you do to the car?" I'm like, "How'd you know what I did to the car?" And he came out and he's like, "Oh shit." And the whole front of the hood was wrapped up like a sardine can when you roll it up.
Oh,
cheap. And ouch. So graduation was actually 2 days later. And I had asked, like, "Can I borrow the other car to drive to school?" And they're like, "Hell no, you're driving, you know, the car still ran." They're like, "You're driving that car." So I had to like show up. It was like, you know, when you walk into a bar, you're a stranger in a bar and the jukebox stops. So I drive up and everyone's like stopped and just looked at the car. Like the engine was exposed. There was like no hood to the car.
Wow.
So
I had a similar experience in high school. I believe I was going to a party my junior year, the summer before my senior year, and I asked my mom if I could borrow the car to drive to the party, and I'd be home by midnight. My mom had a pretty nice Cadillac at the time, and I remember coming home. I probably shouldn't have been driving. I'll just be quite transparent about this. Probably shouldn't have been driving. But about four blocks from our house, there were a set of railroad tracks, and I hit the railroad tracks too hard, and I blew out one of the front tires. So you can imagine I was going kind of too fast.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I stopped, I get out, I see the tires flat, and I'm like, well, I'm only four blocks from home. So in my dumbass head at the time, I just drove home, parked the car, walked in, went to bed, nobody was up, woke up the next morning and go to breakfast, and my mom's there, and she goes, "What happened to the car?" Yeah. I was like, and I had by that time I had already slept and forgot all about the tire, and I was like, "Oh shit, yeah." Luckily, it didn't do too much damage to the car, but yeah, my mom was not very happy with me.
Man, it sounds like the race I went to last week, where wheels were falling off, flat tires, bumpers rolling off.
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, one last example of when I was a kid, Tim. So, and this is a good thing, I think. But my daughter said, "You know what? I just want to stay home." And I said, "Well, what's the matter?" And she said she had a headache. And then it was tired. It was like every excuse in the book. But they do have mental health days at school, which I think is, it's good for kids to take a day off when they're overwhelmed. You know, I can't imagine growing up in today's day and age with social media and the way things are with kids now. So yeah, a mental health day is good. She took the day off. But if I ever, back in the day, Tim, I said to my dad, like, "Hey, listen, I'm going to take tomorrow off because I just not feel it." He would have been like, "The hell you are. You are going to school." So, but we talked about this. You had a different approach. Yeah. Or your parents,
My parents, I lived in a house where my dad wasn't there, by my sophomore year in high school, my dad was out of the picture, and I pretty much, my mom let me do whatever I wanted, and I took full advantage of, if I didn't, especially around NCAA basketball season, Thursday and Friday of that week, I didn't feel very good. I stayed home. I was also a pretty decent student, so I never had to worry about like really struggling to make grades. My mom was like, hey, if your grades aren't affected and you want to stay home, knock yourself out. So yeah. I didn't do it very often because I loved school, but because for me, school was my social playground. So I rarely missed, but during the NCAA tournaments, yeah, there were definitely 4 or 5 days of the 2 or 3 weeks of the NCAA tournament that I was missing school.
All right. Finally, Tim, I posed this question on LinkedIn. It's about AI. I just want to pull it up. My question on LinkedIn was, in general, are you accepting of artificial intelligence, AI, or apprehensive of its capabilities? And I got a few comments. And somebody had commented, AI has already become a part of everyday life in many areas. Mm-hmm. It's a tool that can save you work. Why should one be afraid of a tool? Who is afraid of their computer or toothbrush? Well, okay. I agree with 98% of what he's saying.
Yes.
But my toothbrush is not taking data and collecting it in, you know, like Alexa and, you know, these Google, what are the thermostats?
The smart thermostats.
They're taking your information, Tim, that, you know.
Yeah.
They all want to collect information about you, your demographic, all that stuff. So I don't think my toothbrush is spying on me. But anyway.
At least I hope not.
So anyway, well, then another response came in. It says, both AI is here and only going to become more intertwined into our daily lives. If it can help to cure cancer or other diseases, develop better crops, stronger materials, aid in water management, and population growth, I'm all for it. My issue is how it is used with privacy, personal financial data management, political news, misinformation, manipulation, and dissemination, use of my NIL. Although I'm not a college athlete, I still think this will become an issue in the future. And maybe most telling, the loss of human connection. Now, to me, that sounds like AI wrote that response. So I'm a little perplexed. But you know who wrote it?
I do. I know him very well.
Yeah. Tim Ward. Tim wrote it. So.
Well, we joked about the AI usage of content just yesterday. You came across something somebody had posted and you were like, there is no way. This had to be developed by AI. Some bot wrote this.
Yeah.
And I fear it's easy. There is more of that.
Yeah. I think it's kind of, once you see it, more people will be aware of like, listen, this, I think it'll be obvious at some point, but it just seemed obvious that this was, it was AI generated. And, you know, you look at the person who wrote it, and you're like, there's no way these words came out of this guy's brain. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We talked about it yesterday. We joked about it. Now I will tell you, I did write my post on LinkedIn.
You did.
My wife will laugh because she goes, "Oh no, that's Tim. He uses the most flowery words that he can think of just in normal day conversations." I'm like, "I do not, but maybe I do."
Yep. So if you follow me on LinkedIn and you see that post, you know, give your honest response about it.
I was going to say several of the trade shows and or, you know, a couple of shows I've been to in the last month, AI's been big conversation piece.
Yeah. A couple things, Tim. We launched the video that I worked on, seemed like for 5 years, but it was a few months. I went back in June, early June, I went up to Wisconsin and met with Tweet Garrett Mechanical Contractors, took a tour of one of their prefab facilities. And then we made the jaunt over to Lambeau Field.
I was waiting for the Lambeau Field.
The frozen tundra.
It wasn't frozen at the time, though.
No, but it won't ever be because they put the snow melt system and they got.
Absolutely.
God, I don't know. I can't remember the number. 14 boilers in their mechanical room. So we were lucky enough to have a tour of the mechanical room, and the contractor kind of described what was going on there. And you can find that video now. It's live, Tim. It's live on YouTube. It's a Hub on the Road at Lambeau Field. So
check it out. I was going to say a big shout out to Xylem and Bell and Gossett for their help in partnering with us on that project. But it's a really cool video. It was the lead in our newsletter yesterday. And as John said, I'll pat John on the back if he won't. It's a really cool video, lots of good information. And, you know, these are the kind of things that we want to do more of. So if you're a manufacturer out there and you see this, or you're a contractor or a rep and you see this, and you're like, hey, we've got a cool project. These are the kind of things that I think we excel in. So if you've got an idea, let us know.
You know, it's a 6-minute video on YouTube. And, you know, the algorithms say that the longer the videos, the less people are going to watch it. But you made probably one of the better compliments to me is like, it's a 6-minute video, but it doesn't view like one. It's, yeah, it seems shorter than that.
Well, so, and I think some of that is we work with a professional editing team that knows what they're doing. They kind of know us from some other work they've done with us. So that helps.
Yeah. And so, you know, big shout out to Tweet Garrett, Nick Sturdivant, and Nicole Edge for facilitating that and being good hosts and, you know, getting us on location at Lambeau Field. They are like the mechanical contractor for Lambeau. And
that's not an easy thing to do. NFL, we've talked about this. It's hard to get on some of these job sites. NFL stadiums are the hardest, it seems like.
And so we met with the marketing lady to begin with to start the tour of Lambeau, and I didn't really ingratiate myself very well to her. Yes. She had mentioned
Was there a Bears reference?
Well, there was no, there wasn't, but it was, she had mentioned that they're getting, listen, in the summertime, that place is busy. There's contractors working on stuff. They're redoing a scoreboard. They're putting in, you know, paint. It's just like crazy busy.
Yep.
And that's what was going on. But they said also they're getting ready for the 2025 NFL draft, I think is being held at Lambeau Field. 2025. And so I said, oh, that'll be good because you'll have a top three pick in the draft. And
she did not like that. She give you a smart ass look like you're such a smart ass.
No, she actually got pretty mad. But I didn't tell her what kind of fan I was because I have no ground to stand on.
You're such an ass. That's such an ass thing to say. I'd have probably said the same thing, though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty perfect important because you're going to have like one of the top picks. So good luck. real quick before we leave, Tim, I just want to say, if I ever make it to 80 years old, which I don't think I'm going to be close to that, I want to be as creative as Mick Jagger and Rolling Stones. They released a new album, which I can't even believe. And one of the songs features Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's called Sweet Sounds of Heaven. Lady Gaga sings on it. You wouldn't even know it's her. It seems like a little R&B-ish to me. And Stevie Wonder, I think, plays the piano on it.
I'll have to check it out. You know I'm a huge Rolling Stones fan, so I'll have to check that one out.
So it's got a bluesy kind of, you know, R&B feel to it. So, but 80 years old, and they're still churning out music like that. Listen, Rolling Stones has been around a long time. Some of the music kind of sucked, in the late 80s and stuff like that. They put out some music that you're like, okay, or 90s or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Not every band's going to hit on every piece of music. But for them to be around, I don't even know, 6 decades?
Yes.
Yeah, 60 years. And he's 80 years old, and he sounds phenomenal on this. Just give it a listen. And hope you enjoy it. But that's all I got, Tim.
Well, I don't have much to add to that. I would just say if you listen to our podcast, like it, listen to us on our Tuesday Appetite for Construction long form where we interview people in the industry. And if you don't subscribe to our newsletter, please subscribe. we churn out a lot of good stuff every Thursday, and hopefully our audience enjoys it. I mean, the numbers we get, they do enjoy it. So if you don't get it, go to our homepage, top left, there's a subscribe button, click on it and subscribe. It's pretty simple.
Right on, Tim. Anything exciting going on this weekend?
I am going to a Cincinnati Bengals football game.
That's right.
Greg and I are driving over. My best friend, who played in the NFL and he coached high school football, is coached one of the players for Cincinnati, the Ted Karras, who's the center for the Cincinnati Bengals. So Ted's got some tickets for us. We're going to go over there tomorrow and hang out for the day, and then go to the game on Sunday. And
Karras has a lineage football name. Is that?
It is. Mongo from
Blazing Saddles,
who was Alex Karras, is his, I think it's his dad's uncle. And
okay.
Ted's father and his grandfather all played as well. So, yeah, pretty strong lineage of football coming from the Karras family.
So a couple weeks ago, the Bears played Denver. They had a big lead and they blew it. And at the end of the game, I'm like, why do people still go to these games? You know, they're 1-4 or whatever.
Yep.
And it's a crowded, I mean, it's full house capacity. And I got invited to go on Sunday. So I'm taking Aiden, and I'm one of the fools that'll be at Soldier Field to watch.
It'll be a good, who do they play?
The Vikings, Tim. The Vikings.
That's an interdivision game. That should be a good game. I mean,
yeah.
They're both 1-4,
bad.
Correct?
Yeah, they're both bad. So I think it'll be entertaining. So it'll be good.
Well, Justin may have a good game. I don't want him to have a good game because I'm playing a team that has him as their quarterback in fantasy. But other than that, I mean, that'll be a good game. Hopefully it's nice weather for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So good weekend. Oh, and my wife goes to Asheville, North Carolina with some friends over the weekend. So I guess I have to be a parent.
Oh, I was going to say, you're not going to be sitting around in your tidy whitey smoking cigars, drinking bourbon all weekend.
Hey, we could talk for about an hour. You know this, Tim, but last week, I remember I was asking you about how to make a good old fashioned.
Yes. Yes.
And so last Friday at about 5 o'clock, I went out and I got the ingredients. I think we talked about this on the last one. Mm-hmm. I got the ingredients for an old fashioned. And I started making them, and I texted you a picture. I'm like, oh, you know, tastes pretty good. Looks good.
Yeah, it did.
The second one was, it was, how do you say it, tits? It was good, Tim. And
a tick better than the first one?
Next thing you know, I'm being awakened on the couch, and my son has to be picked up from football at like 6 o'clock. I fell asleep. So when you say tidy whities and, you know, doing all the stuff – that's kind of like what I fell asleep.
Well, I was going to say, if you get to the fifth or sixth old fashioned, it's probably the best.
Yeah. But anyway, So I woke up like in a sweat and panic. I'm like, oh shit, I got to go pick him up. So I went over there and got him.
Well, go enjoy the Bears versus the Vikings. I'll go enjoy the Seahawks versus the Bengals, and we'll have a lot of NFL to talk about next week.
All right, Tim. Have a good day.
All right. Everyone have a great weekend.